But basically, your limestone would be like the bottom of an ocean, because basically that's what the calcium carbonate would be, say, the bodies of all these animals that once inhabited the ocean. And most of us don't realize that this part of Kentucky was like the edge of a very shallow, warm sea. Not only that, the limestone has a very, in this area, has a very gentle slope to it. And a good part of it still has the sandstone in the shell, cap rock. So those factors, plus the fact that we have the Green River that actually controls the cave down this area, but those are primary reasons why we have such long caves rather than lots of broken up little caves. So it's basically, we say, we have a good roof. Here, the roof collapsed to create a wonderful entrance into the Hidden River system. So you've got to have your building blocks, which would be your limestone for us. It's not always limestone. There are several different kinds of caves. But then you've got to have your the power source, the chemical reaction, if you want to call it that, which would be the acidic groundwater. So the water, the rain, is picking up the carbon dioxide from the air, but primarily from decomposing plants and animals on the surface as it makes its journey. And so it finds these little cracks and it enlarges these little cracks. I think the critical diameter of a cave passageway is about, the length of five dimes stuck together. And that passageway is going to rob the surrounding areas from water, and that passageway then will develop. So your cave development happens just below the water table. And that's where the water's ability to dissolve more limestone lies, because there are a lot of other factors. But it's impacted by how much limestone is dissolved on its way down, as well as, say, the turbulence in the water. So that's where your activity occurs. In any cave, well, in limestone caves. All caves aren't made in limestone, and they're not created by water. We have people ask us if this has been man-made. Was it hollowed out or carved, how did it get to be here? And because many caves you don't see the water, so you don't have that concept of how they came to be. So naturally your limestone, your oldest limestone, is going to be at the bottom. Well, it's almost like an inverse kind of relationship, because Green River is controlling the cave development. As she cuts her way down in the valley, the water level drops. And so what happens then, these cave passageways, as they age, they're filled with air. And the ceilings obviously have been weakened by that water getting between the layers, and they rocks will fall as the cave is aging. And so that's occurring up here at the top, and then you've got active cave development, say, at the bottom. And so your older cave passageways, and you're going to find at those upper levels. For example, Hidden River, where we go into the cave at the entrance, is say 140 feet or so underground. Well, where we take our visitors on our ecology tour, we go up into the attic, which is about 90 feet underground. And there we do find beautiful formations, but that area typically does not flood anymore. So what happens as Green River drops, the water level is dropping, and instead of the water then flowing or moving horizontally, it's wanting to find the quickest route down the Green River. And obviously that's going to be falling vertically or maybe at an angle, and that's where you get your canyons that are going to intercept your main trunk passageways. And so your canyons then, and your domes and your formations, or your speleothems, are actually being developed above the water table. So you've got activity on all levels, if that kind of makes sense. But they're different activity. And it changes. A passageway could have been dry for years and it could flood, particularly in our most recent history. So when we say this is a younger cave, it is younger, geologically speaking, but also you're entering the cave at its baseline. It is one of its youngest sections. And then on your tour, you're working your way, I like to tell people, through the life cycle. In other words, you're going from the basement to the second, you know, to the first floor, the second floor, and then eventually we'll get in the attic. And you can literally see the changes in the cave structure. You can see it in the walls, you can see it in the watermarks, and if you look, you can tell a lot about the story of the cave just by looking at the scallops or any of the watermarks, which is very helpful in this cave because those scallops and watermarks tell us areas that flood. And so we know if it's going to rain in our watershed, then there are certain areas we don't want to be because the water literally, I've seen it come up 2 inches in 10 minutes. And that's very, very fast. And, you know, river caves are different. I mean, if you're, you know, you just have to be a little bit more aware of where you are in the cave at what particular time. And so this cave, many people would visit Hidden River Cave, and it gives them a chance to see the cave, say, at different stages, but I think also to get a feeling from hearing and seeing the water and how fast it can move when it's been raining or it's flooding, that it's a very dynamic system, and it is a very living cave. Living because it's the water that makes it alive. You know, people during the cave wars, they had this terrible habit of breaking formations in your rival's cave or breaking them out and making jewelry out of them. But then they were disappointed because you take a stalactite out of a cave and it's just dry rock. It doesn't have that glistening, that beautiful color to it because you've killed it. You know, you've cut it off from its life source, which was the water. And they don't, you know, understand that. So this cave, I think, gives people a window. That's actually, it is a window to see not only the differences within this cave, but uniquely, you can see the outside because it is a sinkhole entrance, and the cave at the same time. And you realize then that it's one system. It's not two different, distinct, disconnected resources. And I think that's eye-opening for a lot of people because many caves, you go in a man-made entrance and people are just amazed. You know, you didn't blast anything in here? I mean, this is all like nature made this? But we forget, and I think we're learning this a little bit more with our recent weather patterns, that the power of the water.